$14 Novi beans. $14. Man, you know, I got to admit, this is starting to feel a little like deja vu all over again. Big moves on corn and soybeans and counter moves in the livestock. What caused this rally? Was it the export sales report, the update to the U.S. drought monitor, South American weather, or just the fear of not being long grains?
Live from 2 for 1 Thursday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we have Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Right after the news with Tyne Morgan, we'll get price action from Oliver Slope of Blue Line Futures. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that, buddy. Here we are again. Got Tyne Morgan with us one more day here. How you doing, Tyne?
As choked up as Joe over these markets, but I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking.
Hey, you know, I'm the guy that doesn't, you know, point that kind of stuff out. I just let it slide. It's all good.
Well, apparently,
I'm
not that gal. Joe, it's all in fun. It's all in fun.
I had a choice to make. I could have made it sound really bad or just do the quick clear, sorry, everybody, and then move on.
And move on. I had a choice.
I guess you know who doesn't have a choice right now, Chip?
Who? Who?
These markets. Oh, my gosh. It sounds like the only choice they have is to keep moving higher.
It's unbelievable. Tyne, get this. Okay? We are 4 days into the month of May. 4 trading days into the month of May.
Okay.
One of those days, the market, these corn closed lower. And we are 61¾ cents higher on the month.
Golly. Chip, at first you said we're 4 days into May, and I was like, do I correct him, or did he have too many margaritas last night for Cinco de Mayo? Like, and then you said 4 trading days, and I'm like, oh, okay. We're on the same page now. It's nuts. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. I talked to a farmer last night, and he goes, Tyne, what is going on? And I said, pick your poison. I mean, there's so many things at play right now. Chip, and you know, it's scary how quickly these markets are moving higher. And I'm not saying it's scary because, you know, this is welcome for many farmers who can take advantage of these prices. I'm just saying it's scary how quick this market is racing higher. Did not think we would be here in May, that's for sure.
Let alone 4 trading days in.
Gosh.
You know, we closed today at 14.09 in November beans. The close on April 30th was, just call it 13.40. So we're 70 cents. We get 70 cent move in beans. It's absolutely one of the most dynamic markets I can ever remember. All right, before we get to Oliver here, let's go ahead and get to some of the market closes. What you got?
Yeah, so what's going on with the markets? Well, Mexico, Haiti, Nigeria were buyers of old crop wheat in the week ending April 29th, but those sales were more than offset by the cancellation of 131,000 metric tons of wheat previously sold for delivery in the 2020/2021 marketing year to unknown destinations. Now, new crop wheat sales, those were solid at nearly 400,000 metric tons. When you look at how the contracts closed, July hardwood winter wheat was 9¾ cents higher at 7.26¾. July soft red winter wheat jumped 8¾ to 7.53¼. September spring wheat and 9½ cents higher at 7.96½.
Yeah, that July SRW contract, it traded lower for most of the day, but it got back and closed above the opening range. It had a lot of help from corn and soybeans, obviously, but that's a big move for wheat late in the day.
December corn, Chip, it gapped higher, slipped back to fill the gap, then shot back to the upside. The low range open, high range close keeps momentum with the bulls. Old crop corn sales of 137,000 metric tons were below expectations, while new crop sales of 106,000 tons, that was at the low end of the guess range. But get this, there were cancellations of 559,000 metric tons of old crop corn sales to unknown destinations in this report. That means there were new sales of 700,000 metric tons. July corn futures were 10¼ higher at 7.18¾. December corn, Chip, that closed 6.25½, up 20¾ cents.
Listen to this list of buyers of old crop: Japan, Mexico, South Korea, Colombia was in there for a little bit, China. China bought some. Now they were offset by those by the cancellations, but right. It was an impressive week of new right. buying that came into that market. After the rally that we've had, it's almost unheard of.
Yeah, sounds like not all of the eggs are in one basket right now, huh, Chip?
Right, that's right.
All right, well, old crop bean sales, that netted a positive 165,000 metric tons. New crop sales, that hit almost 193,000 tons. Traders called the old crop sales solid, and they were disappointed in the new crop tally, and little of that was displayed in the price action, though. Soybean meal sales of nearly 267,000 metric tons, those were strong. Bean oil sales were ordinary. November bean futures gapped higher, slipped back to fill the gap, and rallied to post a high-range close. July bean futures were 27 and a quarter. It's higher at 1569 and a half. August beans, those jumped 24 and a quarter to 1515 and three quarters. And November bean futures closed 1409, up 26 and a quarter cents.
You know, Tyne, the sales that we are seeing in here, I mean, 165,000 metric tons of those old crop bean sales, a lot of that has to be happening because there's some concern. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me to see, goose eggs on the old crop bean sales with the supply coming out of South America right now and with the supplies available out of Argentina, goose eggs would not surprise me. So when we get a couple of boats, three boats sold in the week of old crop beans, I'm still pretty impressed with it. Tell you what, I will get to the cotton and the livestock news and closes at the start of the next segment.
For sure.
Thanks, Tyne. We'll talk to you again later.
You're welcome. Yep,
all right,
bye,
that's Tyne Morgan, U.S. Farm Report. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, because I want to talk about what's going on in the livestock here, Oliver. You tell me, cattle too cheap, hogs too expensive. Which is it?
Probably a little bit of both, to be honest with you. You know, I've been watching these commodities over the past several months, and it's just been so disappointing to see this cattle complex continue to break down, specifically over the last couple of weeks. With all this talk of inflation, you would have thought that the fund money would have been flowing a little bit more in that direction, but there's a lot of cattle to chew through, obviously, and that's just keeping a headwind on things. Ultimately, I do think that we can maybe revisit those highs, maybe not on this June contract, but if you look out to the deferreds, I'm still pretty upbeat and optimistic. But we got to chew through some cattle and get this cash market moving in the right direction to get some sort of a base here.
Yep. Yeah, you know, people like to say that the live cattle market is dysfunctional or something like that in here. But I tell you what, it's reflective of the chaos that's happening in the cash, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I've talked to some guys down in Texas, and sure, they're paying some 119s down there, which is steady, but they were telling me if they really wanted to, that 119 is more or less to save face. They could get them at 110 if they wanted to, and that's got the morale pretty beat up, and the overall sentiment is bearish, but hopefully we can get that to turn. From a technical basis, obviously a bit of a technical graveyard, lower lows, lower highs for many weeks now. Yeah. Need to start to see consecutive closes back out above 117, try to shift that sentiment and invite new buyers back into the market.
I'd love to see that, Oliver. Hey, man, thanks, buddy. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, that is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. When we come back, I'll have the cotton, cattle, and hog closes for you, and we'll get into a conversation with Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, right here on AgriTalk. You might already know that POET produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know that POET uses the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts, like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel? The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate, and that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world. They are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. POET believes in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm going to go ahead and get to the cotton and livestock news before we bring in Chip. Old crop cotton export sales of nearly 64,000 running bales and new crop sales of more than 61,000 bales were good enough for cotton to follow corn and soybeans to the upside. July cotton, 345 points higher at 90.78, and December cotton surged 145 points to 86.85. No question, if Davis was here, we would be hearing the music on that one. Beef export sales of nearly 17,000 tons helped live cattle futures shrug off the influence of another rally in corn. June live cattle were 105 higher at 115.47.5, and October cattle gained 37.5 to close at 123.47.5. August feeders dropped 182.5 to 143.40. Another week of explosive pork export sales helped lean hog futures recover from midday losses. June lean hogs were a nickel higher at 114.47.5, and August hogs gained 12.5 cents to close at 109.92.5. All right, Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Chip, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing, Chip?
Man, I am just feeling great. Feeling great. So, as I understand it, you may have been away from the markets for a few days last week.
Last week, trying to get a little R&R. I was down in Florida. Good. And I tell people, I am the perfect, like, you can, Chip, you pick a week for me to be gone 3 years from now. Just yeah. Random week. I don't care what week it is. The market's going to go haywire. That's just a Murphy's Law.
So you came back the start of this week, new month, refreshed, a little bit of time off. What do you make of it? I mean, what's the 60-some cents in corn this month already? We're 4 days in. 70-some cents in Novi beans. We're 4 days in. I mean,
unbelievable. This is just unbelievable.
It.
And it's hard to explain. I think you have to go back 18 months to explain this, Chip. Really, it's just a confluence of a bunch of things, and we're seeing the benefit of it. And, I hate to beat a dead horse because it's long dead, but I think this all goes back 2 years to the prevent plant issue. It messed up the size of the crop. It messed up the stocks numbers. Short crop, late flash drought last summer took the top end of the yield off, and, Illinois and Iowa at a minimum. And China demand, drought, and historic drought, maybe like a once in 100 or 200 year type drought you're seeing for that second crop corn production in Brazil. China demand, a little dry in the Western Corn Belt.
Yep.
And here we are, expanded daily limits, expanded position limits for the funds. And it all leads to what we're seeing here.
Yeah, you're making a great point, Chip. Each and every day, when you get moves like we're seeing in the markets right now, it can't just be one reason. I mean, because if they're going to look at it and say, okay, well, it's because it still didn't rain on the Brazilian safrinha corn crop. Well, so what? We knew that. It can't just be the solid demand. Yeah, every day is multiple reasons. Every day. Which makes me feel like it's going to be kind of a sticky move. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough to break these markets back, isn't it?
It is on the one hand, but you can't keep at this pace forever. And the thing that kind of hit me is the realization a couple days ago that, yes, we're trading weather already, with the dry Western Corn Belt. That's definitely into some of the premium you have in the market. But we're not even into, trading this 19 different weather models three times a day yet. Wait till that comes in June. If you think this thing is volatile now, wait till that. I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to be gut-wrenching. As tight as we are on the stocks, this market is going to just come unhinged with volatility, and it's not going to be a fun ride at all.
Unhinged with volatility. I love it. When you talk about dryness in the Western Corn Belt, there are guys in East Central, Southeast, Nebraska, a lot of the corn country in Kansas that are going, yep, go ahead, keep talking about it because we're in pretty good shape. But when you get into northern Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, northern Iowa in particular, but I mean southeast Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, and there's chunks now of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, basically all of Michigan is exhibiting some sort of dry conditions out there. Chip, this is, it feels like it's turning into something weather-wise.
Well, it is. It's still early, right? And with these hybrids, we can raise a big crop with below average moisture, right? They just have to get the minimal amount of moisture at the right time. But there's no question that it's dry, particularly Iowa, the Dakotas, Minnesota. You look at the planting place, that's reflective of it. I mean, just massive progress on the planting, right? Well, I guess let's hope the old adage of planting the dust, your bins will bust, holds true this year because we're going to need every bushel. But there's still time for the weather to cooperate and to allow for enough rainfall to have a big, big crop. I think we're off to that kind of a start as far as the early planting. But to your point, for sure, this market is going to be highly sensitive. And that's what I meant earlier, right? I mean, we're not even to that point yet in June and July when, you know, every rainfall is going to matter and, you know, every weather model run is just going to be overly scrutinized. And let's face it, it's hard enough to get the weather right 48 hours from now, let alone 2 weeks, and the market's going to be trading a 2-week forecast that likely is going to change quite a bit. So it's going to be a wild ride.
Right. So what do you think? I hope I'm asking this question the right way. What does the top look like in this market? Because when we talk about coming off of the lows that we had into August of last year, when we were talking about making that bottom, everybody said, "You listen, it's going to be a process. It's going to take time. It's going to do. Is it going to be a process to put a high in this market, or is it going to be there one day and we're going to know it?"
I think that's yet to be seen. It could be either way. Typically, though, this thing's going to end in a process, and the process is very volatile, choppy, back and forth, ranging, big ranges, you know, buck and a half range in corn and $2.50 range in beans, you know, kind of travel that range 2 or 3 times, and then you put the top in. You got to stay high enough, long enough to get the demand rationed. That's likely how it's going to end, but I guess there is a small possibility that it just ends, right? And if we have good weather conditions and grow a record crop here and you have a couple little outside issues, China slows their buying, you know, you bring in a massive amount of acres this winter in South America, it could just end as well. But I would lean towards the former. It's a process on these tops as well, typically, to get it rationed. And that means usually it's volatile. It's not just a, you know, we're going to stay here at 620 corn for 3 months. It means, you know, no new crop.
Yeah.
You're going to put some big, massive ranges in as you kind of go through the process of that top.
Yep. There's a reason that there's an old market adage that you always get 2 opportunities to sell the high. And usually, you know, in a market like this, when we're talking about the new crop contract, It could be, boy, I wish we might be wishing that we would have sold 6.25 December corn. But the thing is, the next time you get there, you got to take advantage of it and make it happen. So lots of moving parts in here. There's no question. What's your gut telling you on this Safrina corn crop, Chip? I mean, I'm hearing horror stories now.
Yeah, I am too. And that, you know, I would first say that in current price levels in corn, I think there's a lot of it digested in the market. It's impossible to know, though. It's not all of it, right? Because you just don't know how small that crop is going to be. But, literally in it looks like up to half of the production area of that second crop corn, they literally haven't had any rain since they planted it. And you're getting late enough now, you're starting to hear the stories now about producers saying, it's a loss, I'm going to disc it under. Maybe I'm going to try for some other crop, a winter wheat type situation. It's bad. It's bad. And if they don't get rain like quickly, the next 10 days, 17 days, it's going to be over for them in a lot of those areas. So that being said, though, there's some areas, some main producing areas, that it looks pretty ideal, right? So it's not a zero. The whole crop isn't a zero because they have had some rains and looks like really good production in some of their main growing areas, but they have
problems. Chip, we got to take a break. I want your expectations for the S&D report when we come back. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. China to raise subsidies for corn and soybean producers. Global food prices at their highest in nearly 7 years. The Food and Agriculture Organization forecasts remind of abundant global wheat supplies. ANAC holds its Brazilian corn export forecast steady, still looking for 32 million metric tons in exports. Timely arrival of the Indian monsoon is now expected. Further degradation of Australian-China relations. China has indefinitely suspended all activity under a China-Australia strategic economic dialogue. And the administrative review of duties on Argentine biodiesel imports has been dropped. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Thanks for joining us today. We are having a conversation with Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Before that, let's recap how the markets closed. July HRW wheat was 9¾ cents higher at 726¾. July SRW jumped 8¾ cents to 753¼. July corn futures 10¼ cents higher at 718¾. East corn closed at 625½, up 20¾ cents today. July bean futures 27¼ cents higher at 1569½. Novi beans closed over $14 for the first time. 1409, up 26¼ cents. December cotton surged 145 points to 86.85. June live cattle 105 higher at 115.47½. August feeders dropped 182½ to 143.40. And June lean hog futures nickel higher at 114.47½. Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing, is our guest. Hey, Chip, before we get to the supply and demand, what are you thinking on cattle and hogs in here right now? I mean, we talked with Oliver earlier about it. I just wonder what your take is on what's going on.
Well, I guess in hogs, I maybe not quite as bearish or thinking the tops here. I think you, given the inflationary pressures that we see in other markets and the liquidation that we saw of sows and hogs a year ago during COVID, then I don't know why we wouldn't, at least test the all-time highs. Typically, we haven't even seen the normal summer demand peak yet. Yeah. And so I think that the wind's at our backs a little bit in hogs. Cattle, I think maybe today, the action today may be telling you that we're close to a bottom on this, especially in the deferreds. I really like the deferreds from the October on back. Historically, when you see big high corn prices like this, it will start dragging even the feeder cattle eventually higher on the back of the corn market, and you might be starting to make that turn a little bit. So I think we're close to the bottom in live cattle.
I can't believe the packer margin's in here right now, Chip. We got to figure out some way to move that money down to the feed yard.
Well, unfortunately, the way to do that, I think, is what you'll see really quickly with, 7.5. I think even in the southern plains, you have cash corn north of 8. and obviously new crop corn north of six now, you're going to start taking weight off these cattle. There's already, you know, feedlots in the west that are trying to find alternative feed sources, getting creative with it. Typically, that takes weight off. We're not going to feed them as heavy as we have. And I think that'll return the margin back to the feedlot real quickly. Yeah. And I think you're really quickly going to start seeing that happen and the weight start dropping.
Yeah, and then longer term, that drought area that we described earlier, that's cattle, that's cow-calf country, man. It makes me wonder if we don't, if we do see a period of liquidation this summer on cows, might put a little extra supply on the market for a short period of time, but then it's going to tighten up our numbers for next year. And yeah, next year is a long ways off. I get it, but longer term, we may have a reason to expect that we will move the leverage back over to the feed yard. It's just, it's still going to take some time in here. What about, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say too, the funds are out of their longs. And so you turn this thing and get a bullish, you know, fundamental story in cattle, the funds have a lot of room to add some longs in a short amount of time and goose this thing higher.
Okay. All right. Very good. What you mentioned that corn price for the guys down south, man, what a tough decision on what to do if you've got to be buying corn for hogs or for cattle or for the dairy, Chip. How do you manage that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, hopefully you have some amount of coverage in place already. I think part of what's been interesting to me in this last rally about the last 3 weeks in corn and beans, that it's not just all funds. You would have expected the fund position to increase larger than it has. So that's telling me that there are some commercial end user type buying going on, kind of almost, you know, maybe panic type buying along with fund buying, obviously some short covering in that as well. So I think that the end users, the commercials have been getting some coverage. But it's really a tough call, especially when you talk about if there's a weather issue this summer, you know, we'll blow through all previous all-time highs, you know, like hot knife through a butter. And so, you know, I think you have to kind of play catastrophic, right? And even if that means buying some way out of the money calls, that seems stupid right now because, you know, you take 5-10 bushels off a trend line yield corn and we're just going to a number that probably would make both our heads spin right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Numbers that you don't really like to even throw out.
No, it would be horrible. I mean, it would just wreck things long term. I hope that doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, you go back to that 12-13 marketing year when we just absolutely destroyed 40 years of work to build up corn export demand and corn demand in general. And my gosh, we don't want to go through something like that again. And you know, the scary thing is, Chip, this ethanol market, it feels like it may be in a position that it can be kind of a stabilizing force for corn because I mean, we're going to be using fuel this summer. And I don't know if it matters if it's $3-3.5 a gallon. They're going to use it, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of stimulus money in people's pockets right now. People want to get out of their house and get out into the country, out away from cities, hit the road. Crude oil, you know, roughly $65. That's helping keep some margins in there. And, you know, big picture to me, crude oil looks like it may not be done going up. It's corrected a little bit the last couple days off the highs, but you know, 70 plus certainly could be in the cards there, and that'll help hold the margins together on the ethanol side. So it's the demand thing's a little scary, and that's what, you know, sitting here at, you know, 720 July corn futures, and ethanol plants are still, you know, making a little bit of money, and, you know, the only one probably hurting or getting stretched a little thin right now is the cattle guy as far as, you know, finding alternative sources away from corn. So arguably we haven't seen that demand destruction yet.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Old crop and our first set of new crop supply and demand numbers coming to us next week in the WASD. Anything in particular that you're really watching for there, Chip?
Well, I want to see where the USDA puts the new crop corn and bean demand numbers. And I'm not so sure it's going to be quite as big as what maybe the market hopes. It might throw a little cold water on it, right? It's just a starting point. It's our first snapshot of the new crop. And also, you know, the USDA is kind of run by economists, and economically speaking, high prices slow demand down. So that's probably first and foremost what I want to watch, is where we're going to start the put the bar initially as far as demand goes for new crop corn and beans. And that may have a little bit of a tendency to kind of slow this market a little bit. Obviously, it's the first snapshot. We've got a long ways to go before those numbers are finalized. But I think that's one thing. And then obviously, are they going to cut old crop corn and bean carry out? Arguably, they need to go higher on exports for old crop corn and beans, and that would come right off the bottom line and tighten the carryout up. But that might be in the market already as well. So it'll be hard from these levels to have a bullish reaction, but it might not matter much if it's still dry in South America and two-week forecast is still dry for the Western Corn Belt.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect point. I mean, we're going to get those numbers at 11 o'clock. The market will have everything all factored in. And by what, 11:02, people are going to be looking for the latest, greatest weather up forecast, right?
Exactly. The deeper we get into May here, the more that extended forecast is going to start mattering.
That's right. That's right. Okay, manage some risk for us going into that report that we get next Wednesday, Chip. Anything in particular that you feel some incentive to get done?
Well, you know, I think $14 plus beans and $6 plus corn from a new crop perspective, probably silly not to do something. I think one important point is this year is the year to hit a home run or try to hit a home run. To me, that means you've got to have upside, right? Whether that's make the sale and add some calls, or whether that's buy puts instead of making the sale. By next year, with higher prices, we know they're going to take a lot of margin away from higher input costs. That's coming. So we got to hit the home run this year. And, you know, I had a conversation with a producer earlier this week, right? Remember last year, $10 new crop beans, which are old crop now, felt pretty good. It felt like, hey, this is a gift. Well, now they're $16, and that easily could happen on new crop corn. So point being, I think it's not prudent to not do something up here north of $6 corn and $14 new crop beans, but you definitely want to keep some upside potential, because if we're going to go into this, you know, hyperinflationary push, you don't want it all priced at too low of a level and miss out on a huge chunk of revenue potential.
Yeah, we've been preaching the flexibility in your marketing plans, and I cannot believe that we're sitting at 6.25 D's and $14 Novi beans, and I don't feel like we can back off of that push, Chip. I think you're right. I think you got to maintain some upside. It blows me away, but I think you got to. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Well, the other thing is, you got to don't let the premium, you know, kind of hold you back. The daily ranges have expanded, and we're at huge levels. So option premium's bigger, and it's a little bit of a sticker shock, but focus on revenue.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Take it from price to revenue to margin, and it makes it a lot easier to do. Chip, it's always good to talk with you, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
You bet. Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. I'll be back to wrap things up in a moment.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis Michelson's out on vacation. We'll be back with us next week. Hope he's having a great time out there. A couple of highlights from the conversation there with Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He made the comment that there's still room for the funds to do things. Now, we were talking about cattle when he said, listen, they're out of their long positions. The funds could step in there and give that market a boost anytime, getting onto the long side. But there's also room for the funds to still play on the long side of the market because, as Chip said, the increase in the position on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis hasn't been as big as what should have happened when you get a four-session move of 61 and three-quarter cents in December corn and 69 and a quarter cents of in November soybeans. These are huge moves to kick off May. Just mind-blowing moves to kick off May. The horror stories coming out of Brazil now with that Safrina corn crop. I mean, it's almost like it's a race to the bottom now among the crop watchers to see who can get to the lowest yet reasonable, quote-unquote reasonable, crop estimate for the Brazilian corn crop now. And like Chip said, it's not going to be zero. There are areas where growing conditions are very good. And this is the second corn crop. They've already harvested a corn crop. There will be corn available for export out of Brazil. The mix comes up when we start trying to, or when they start trying to figure out how they're going to make ethanol. Because they had started to make some ethanol from corn rather than just sugarcane. But the drought has had an impact on that sugarcane crop down there as well. So, boy, all the feedstock that's available to make biofuels and ethanol in particular, they're going to be looking for it and looking for it in a big way down in Brazil. Chip also mentioned the total usage numbers that we get for corn, soybeans, and I'll throw wheat into the mix on that too. The total usage numbers that we get in Wednesday's update for the 2021-22 marketing year, the first official look at the new crop marketing year from USDA. The reason that I say the first official is because, remember, at the Ag Outlook Forum back in February, we'd got the first kind of, if we were going to scratch out some S&Ds on the back of a bar napkin, this is what it would look like kind of thing. So let's go back and take a look at some of those numbers. The wheat supply and demand, when we are looking at total use, I just want to kind of focus there. Total use, 2.095 billion bushels is the estimate on total use for wheat. That's compared to what was at the time a 2.138 billion bushel estimate for the 2020-21 marketing year. Maybe the better comparison is it's basically steady with 2019-20, which was 2.089 up to 2.095. So basically steady with what we were looking at in 2019-20. Corn. Okay. Now, at the time, USDA was estimating 2020-21 total corn use of 14.625. It's higher than that now. But they were already up at 15.125 billion bushels for 2021-22. That was with a season average price or a national average on-farm cash price of $4.20. They can't be estimating that $4.20 on the new crop anymore. It's going to be it's going to be north of that. I mean, come on. There hasn't been that much of it booked for one thing. And at 6.25 on today's close, that number's got to be pushing into the 5.25. They got to put a buck on it at least. So that I would think would pull down that total use number. If they don't adjust that season average price and they adjust the total use, that's when I start to lose my mind a little bit on how they make these numbers come together. But you push that season average farm price up on corn, that gives them the go-ahead to pull down the total use, which helps to support that ending stocks number for the 2021-22 marketing year. On soybeans, 4.575 billion bushels was the estimate for 2020-21 back in February during the Outlook Conference. Down a bit, 4.575 534 billion bushels is the estimate, or was the projection, at the at USDA's Ag Outlook conference back in February. That was at 11 and a quarter for a national average on farm cash bean price. Again, it's got to be above that. If they push that price up, that gives them the cover to go ahead and pull that total use number down. They've already taken 50 million bushels, or had taken 50 million bushels out of the export estimate from the current marketing year into the new crop marketing year. So we need to keep that in mind as we work forward as well. So lots of movement. And I think Chip's exactly right. When everybody's going to be focused on the new crop supply and just go straight to the bottom line. I think you got to spend a lot of time studying what they've done to the price on the new crop and what kind of impact that had on demand. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for May 12th through the 16th has got the below normal temperatures. Southern Wisconsin, most of Iowa into eastern Kansas, and points to the east. Normal temperatures expected across the northwest production areas and the western Corn Belt. Normal rains expected over most of the Corn Belt. We've got an area of below normal precipitation expected throughout most of Nebraska, Kansas, the western half of Missouri, down into Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. So some issues that we are going to be dealing with there. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all going. Wiesmeyer Haney and Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skuse tomorrow afternoon. Rick Brock, the Brock Report, right here on AgriTalk.